We join together in the prayer of preparation. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. We hear our Lord's summary of the law. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Amen. Lord, have mercy. Let us pray. Almighty God, the fountain of all goodness, bless our sovereign Lady Queen Elizabeth and all who are in authority under her, that they may order all things in wisdom and equity, righteousness and peace, to the honour and glory of your name and the good of your church and people. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The collect of today. Generous God, you give us gifts and make them grow. Though our faith is small as a mustard seed, make it grow to your glory and the flourishing of your kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. No one sort of stop this wobbling. We'll hear our first reading. Thank you.
Our first reading is Romans chapter 8. Reading from verse 26 to verse 39. It's on page 1135 of the Church Bibles. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We stand for the gospel reading. Reading is from Matthew's gospel. It's chapter 13, and there's two passages, verses 31 to 33, and then 44 to 52. Be found on page 979. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 30 kilograms of flour until it worked all through the dough. On to verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous, throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We affirm our faith in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as we join together in the Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please sit down. Despite my temptation to preach about predestination this morning, I'll let the reading from Romans speak for itself. We'll look at the actually no less challenging words that Jesus spoke in parables in Matthew's gospel. There's a theme there about smallness, which I find really good, really positive, really helpful. Kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, smallest of all seeds, when it grows, it's the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. Now, as you'll notice, trees are a little bit of a sore point with me at the moment, after the lovely elm in my front garden has been cut down this week. It was intended. I didn't just come home and find it just gone. It got Dutch elm disease. But does mustard make a tree? Different sort of mustard, clearly. So the mustard you see in the fields is a bit like small oilseed rape and a nicer yellow, isn't it? But this isn't that. This is something else. This is I can't remember exactly what it's called, but it's a thing that kind of makes a shrub rather than a small, tender plant. So if you've got a shrub, then birds can come and perch in the branches. But the point there is that a seed is a very small thing. And if you look at any kind of seed, you know, the mustard and cress stuff you plant as kids in school, and it all comes up, but that absolutely looks like dust. But that dust produces something that you can eat. And there's something there about multiplication, about the small being really important. And really the other two parables, the yeast. When you're camping, you have to be really, really careful about hygiene, because it only takes a little thing to cause a big problem. You know, keeping the milk cool, which wasn't a problem this week, strangely. You know, one day where there's even the slightest possibility of the milk going off. But things like that are so vital. And in the Old Testament, there's so much about mildew and mold and yeast and all those kinds of things. And reading through the Old Testament, you'd think that the ancient people of Israel were obsessive about yeast and all the stuff with unleavened bread. But if you're living in a tent in a hot country, mold and fungus are real enemies. But yeast, of course, we know, is a good thing when it's properly handled. And you only need a tiny bit of yeast to mix into dough in order to make lots of bread rise. And it generates itself. It works through. So there's something there about smallness, but also something about multiplication. Then these other parables, the treasure hidden in a field. Ever tried to find anything in a field? Our granddaughter Daisy had this thing with a small red ball that she took with her to New Wine this week, and the grass was about this long because it's an agricultural showground and hadn't been cut. And we spent a very long time trying to find this ball in the field, and it was frustrating. It just eventually reappeared in our tent. I think somebody else must have found it and put it in there. But trying to find something in a field is difficult. If you stumble across something, that's amazing. You see these people with their metal detectors, don't you, hoping to find the next big treasure. But a man found treasure hidden in a field. When he found it, he hid it again, made sure that he grasped hold of it, kept it. The treasure, the kingdom, is treasure. It's small, yes. It speaks of multiplication. But it's like something that is so valuable that when you find it, you'll do anything to get it. So he found the treasure in the field, hid it again, went away, sold everything he had, and then bought the field so that he could make sure he had that treasure, that nobody else would get it. It's something, the kingdom is a kingdom of small things, a kingdom of multiplication, a kingdom, a treasure that we should do anything we can to grab hold of. And then the merchant with the pearls. And again, I guess it's finding something amongst something else. I'd imagine when you see it on movies, don't you? You know, here's a tray of pearls. Why don't you find one that you really like and you can buy it? You know, but sorting through them and then finding the one of great value. But you don't necessarily let on immediately to the person selling it to you. You go away and you come back with enough money to buy it. I'm not going to go on about the fish because that goes into the whole judgment thing, and I don't want to talk about that this morning particularly. But what I want to do is to think about this idea of smallness and multiplication and treasure. Because I don't know about you, but in the overall scheme of things, I don't feel very big or important or powerful. I don't suppose any of us here does. But I think this thing about seeds and yeast shows that things don't have to be big and important and powerful in order to make a difference. And one word to someone can make a huge difference to them. When someone's hurting, an arm around the shoulder. When someone's upset, a comforting word. When someone's in trouble, just helping them in some way. Small things have a big impact. And we shouldn't despise small things. You know, there aren't many of us here this morning. There'll be more at 10:30, probably. Who knows? I hope there might be, but there might not, because everybody's away on holiday. But that doesn't matter. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. And if God himself can come among two or three people who are gathered to worship him, gathered in his name, then God doesn't despise small things. Was the voice of God in the earthquake? Was the voice of God in the mighty rushing wind? Was the voice of God in the fire? No, it was a whisper. So the kingdom of heaven can be found in very small places and can be brought into being in a way with very small things. So if you're feeling small and insignificant, that's fine, because the kingdom's yours. And you can make change. You can bring the kingdom in through acts of kindness, through a word, through a prayer. You might think your prayers don't matter, but they do. All of our prayers matter, and a prayer can make a huge difference. And the thing is that those small acts of prayer, kindness, whatever they may be, they multiply. Because as we bless other people through the things that we do for them, as we bless other people through our prayers, that blessing is something that they are then more likely to pass on to others. So the multiplication happens. And that's how the kingdom comes, through the multiplication of kindness, through the multiplication of prayer, through the multiplication of blessing one another, helping one another, doing the things of God among one another. But it's very easy to walk past the treasure if we're not careful. Just as we spent ages trying to find Daisy's ball in the field, the treasure presumably had been in this field that in the story that Jesus tells. The implication is the treasure had been there a long time, buried, hidden in the field. But this man found the treasure. Now, whether he was seeking the treasure, like the merchant looking for the fine pearl, we don't know. But he found it and he realized what he'd got, and he did everything he could to keep it. Kingdom of heaven is a precious thing, and something that when we realize that that's what we've grasped hold of through Jesus, we should do anything we can not to let it go. So there's smallness, there's multiplication, there's treasure. all things that would be easy to miss, easy to fail to see, easy to fail to grasp hold of. But as I was thinking about this passage, I was reminded of something else that was small, that resulted in great multiplication, and is a treasure that we shouldn't overlook, and that is Jesus. How on earth did God, who created everything we see, the earth, the stars, the planets, what a ridiculous plan he had of salvation, to bring the tiniest thing you could imagine into the womb of Mary, to risk all that childbirth and growing up in that kind of really quite primitive society would have entailed, to take that risk. So something so small, a baby. But there's the kingdom in one person. And that baby grew into a man. That man taught a few people, a few hundred, a few thousand people. The multiplication begins. And just like a seed has to fall into the ground and die, so Jesus died, took our sins upon himself, but rose again. And then the multiplication really began. When the Spirit was poured out at Pentecost, 3,000 came to faith in that day, and then the multiplication continues to this very day around the world and through time of God's kingdom in us. So let's not despise the small thing. Let's not overlook the multiplication that can happen, and let's, when we've got that treasure, grab hold of it with everything we have. Amen. So we stand for the offertory. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven.